So good morning. This is Sasha Allenby coming to you live on the first Matrix Reimprinting webinar session. This is a brand new program and it rolls every single week. And I'm really excited to get the opportunity to share this absolutely amazing cutting edge technique and my passion for it with you. So welcome to the webinar. Just a little note about your fellow participants. We've got people taking part from all over the world. There's people from the USA, Canada, Europe, Australia, Singapore, Mexico, to name but a few. We've got a whole range of people on this program. Everybody from absolute beginners in Matrix Reimprinting who have heard something about the technique and are really excited to learn more about it, right the way through to experienced trainers and even EFT masters. So there's a whole host of different people on the program. And they all share your passion for personal transformation. So as well as you being able to connect on this call, I'm hoping that you'll be able to connect through the forum and really make some brilliant connections as part of this program. So the aims and objectives of the webinar then. We want to introduce Matrix Reimprinting to newcomers to the technique and share our passion for this absolutely life-transforming technique. We also want to reinforce the learning for existing Matrix Reimprinting practitioners. There's lots of changes to the techniques as they grow and develop, and we want to make sure everybody's kept up to date. We also want to share best practice through quality demonstrations and really bring those techniques alive. And also to give you all the opportunity to learn from pioneers in the field of Matrix Reimprinting. There's some really exciting developments going on in Matrix Reimprinting, and we want to be able to bring those people that are pioneering those developments to the forefront and let you experience all their different knowledge and all their different wisdom and the different techniques that they're creating and developing. So in addition to the program, in addition to the live calls every week, we've got a members-only website and forum. I want to really encourage you to use that forum and to get the support from other people that are learning the technique or from other practitioners that are developing their skills. And this would be a really good place, as I said, for you to connect with people that are on the same wavelength. In that members-only website, I'm also going to give you lots of slides, lots of articles, lots of video clips. It's going to be an absolutely great resource for Matrix Reimprinting, and it's going to grow and develop every single week. So the structure of each week. Each week, I want to give you a little bit of theory and background into Matrix Reimprinting, perhaps introducing some of the theories if you're new to this technique, or refreshing or advancing your existing knowledge if you already know some Matrix Reimprinting. There's going to be live demonstrations of the techniques every week. I feel it's really important to bring these techniques to life for you. I know for those of you who are as practitioners, you get a small amount of time to really kind of get into the live demonstrations and the practical techniques on the two-day training. Obviously, it's a fantastic course and you learn loads in that 2 days, but it's really great to have some time and some opportunity to really reinforce those practical techniques. I also want the webinar to be a place where your questions about Matrix Reimprinting can be answered. I'm going to talk a little bit more about questions now. So if you want to ask questions live on this call, I suggest that you need a headset, a microphone, just so that the quality of the recording and the quality of the questions will be great for everybody else. And if you missed the tutorial about asking questions and taking part on the webinar, then there is a tutorial for you to download, and there'll be another live tutorial next Monday. So just a note about asking questions then. On the call, in my experience, it's best to keep the questions on the call to those kind of single sentence questions like, how do I, or how do you, or how can I? For the longer questions that have got multi-threads and that are more complex and more kind of convoluted, those are best kept to the forum so that we can really serve everybody that's on the call and on the forum in the best way possible. So just before we get started then, a reminder this week and every week to take full responsibility for your emotional health during the call. So if something triggers you, if you're listening to a demonstration and something comes up emotionally for you, then you're advised to tap and clear that as much as you can on your own. And then obviously seek a Matrix Reimprinting practitioner or somebody to swap with following the session. So really look after yourself on these calls. So I'd like to introduce myself a little bit further for those of you that don't know me. So I overcame EFT, I overcame chronic fatigue syndrome and also a condition known as bipolar affective disorder or manic depression using matrix reimprinting and EFT. I also, after that, I worked intensely with clients for about 18 months to 2 years, really kind of the serious disease clients, the trauma clients from all over the world. And I went on to write my first book, Joyful Recovery from Chronic Fatigue Syndrome, several years ago. Now, recently I wrote the Matrix Reimprinting book with EFT Master Carl Dawson, which is soon to be published on Hay House. And I'm currently writing my third book with the producer of The Living Matrix for the next Living Matrix film. So I've kind of had a really kind of big transformation personally with these techniques. And that's really what fires my passion for them. So I really kind of came through a lot of personal stuff that fires me and really makes me passionate about helping other people to do the same. I'd like to just spend a moment introducing my co-presenter as well. I have a co-presenter every week, Brett Moran. Brett, can you introduce yourself and tell people a little bit more about yourself?
Hello, Sasha. Thank you very much. Yes, well, as you just said, I'm Brett Moran, and I'm an addiction specialist. I've been working in the field of addiction for about 5 years now. And recently, I've gone self-employed, working with clients one-to-one, you know, internationally over the phone and Skype. The reason why I got into this sort of work is because I kind of overcame my own sort of severe addictions, ranging from crack cocaine to heroin, to crime, and just really, my life was really sort of destructive and very, very sort of negative. So I grew a passion and a purpose for really trying to help other people in the same sort of situation once I got myself clean. I found Matrix Reimprinting and the EFT for addictions for me, probably the most powerful tools in my toolbox. I mean, I'm a Reiki practitioner, I do auricular acupuncture, I do many other different techniques, but since I come onto that weekend course for Matrix Reimprinting with yourself, it's been my sort of number one tool. It's been absolutely brilliant. I've had a practice on Harley Street. As I say, I went self-employed, so I've been working up in London with some clients, and now it's, you know, it's just gone phenomenal. I've been doing a lot of Matrix Reimprinting for manifesting, and it's absolutely mind-blowing. So it's really, really good to be on board and to be part of this. I feel really humbled to be part of this course as well.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on board as well, Brett. I know you bring a fantastic energy to the whole program. So aims and objectives of week one then. What do we want to get out of week one? Now, just to clarify for you, week one is a free program. Week one and week two are complimentary. If you sign up for the 12-week program, you'll get week one and week two as a complimentary and then 12 invitations after that. So week one and week two are really to get people to kind of get the basics of matrix reimprinting. And we really want to share with you scene reimprinting in week one, which is a fantastic tool for working with a single memory. And if you're new to matrix reimprinting, then it will be a new technique, but if you're a practitioner, we just want to recap that technique for you so you really know all the different points of it. And we want to enable you to use scene reimprinting on yourself and on others, or for practitioners to recap using it on yourself or on others. So I want to start with a little bit of the science behind matrix reimprinting and a little bit about how it all came about. So the matrix then, it's another name for the quantum field. Some people call it the divine matrix, some people call it the mind of God, some people call it nature's mind. And imprinting, now imprinting is the system where we take on the characteristics of our parents just by kind of picking them up and learning them through observation. So we're re-imprinting, we're writing over our early imprints. So that's where the title matrix re-imprinting came from. So why matrix reimprinting? Why are these techniques so important? Well, you may be already aware that your subconscious mind runs 95 to 98% of your daily behavior, your activities and habits. The subconscious mind is the one that's in charge. So many of your habits, many of the programs that you run were imprinted in the first 6 years. And that's because in the first 6 years, we're in a hypnagogic state. We're in delta and theta brainwave states, and that's the states that hypnotherapists drop us into to make us more suggestible. So anything that happens in the first 6 years, we download that as the truth. And we keep referring back to that truth over and over again until we rewrite what happened in the first 6 years and beyond. So these programs are based on images of these past events, your past life experiences. And in matrix reimprinting, we see that these are held in your fields or in the matrix, and that we keep reverting back to them over and over again subconsciously, and they keep affecting our behavior in the present. Now, eventually, with the adaptation to these negative programs, the body will adapt on a chemical, hormonal, cellular, and DNA level. These images, if they're negative, are often stressful, and constantly tuning into these stressful images and constantly having these stressful misperceptions will keep people in a state of ill health. And this is how disease, either physiological or psychological, is developed. So matrix reimprinting changes the images in the field and transforms these pictures in the field. And this transforms our emotional and physical health. We're tuning into new pictures in the field or matrix, and our cells and our DNA and our hormones and the chemicals in our body start to react differently to these new pictures. So that's why matrix reimprinting, or that's kind of what matrix reimprinting is really all about. So how did it come about? Well, it was created by EFT Master Carl Dawson. The way that it actually occurred was Carl was in a workshop one day and he was tapping on a participant with conventional EFT. And he wasn't making much progress with this participant. And he asked her, can you see that little girl, that person in the picture? And she replied, I can see her so clearly, I could tap on her. And Carl just had this massive awakening, this massive realization that you could actually tap on these parts of ourselves that have split off due to the trauma and kind of work on them separately. So he did that, he got amazing results very quickly, and matrix reimprinting was born. It's since evolved into a very, very complex technique. When I came into matrix reimprinting several years ago, it still didn't have a name. And also, as well as not having a name, it also only had kind of one technique that we used. It's now evolved into two main techniques and also a whole host of protocols and a whole host of different protocols. So it's really kind of evolved into something that is very complex. There's been some amazing people on board evolving these techniques over the years and really kind of developing them and really kind of building on them as well. Okay. So how does it differ from conventional EFT? With EFT, we clear the memory. So if you're working with conventional EFT, if you're using the movie technique with conventional EFT, for example, you will clear all the different peaks out of a memory. With matrix reimprinting, we actually go in and transform and change the memory. Now, just to be clear, this is very different from denying that something happened. This is not pretending that something didn't happen. But from a quantum physics point of view, we've got a numerous different pasts, a possible past, and numerous different possible futures. And we're only actually filtering through our perception what happened in any one given moment. So we can go back to any moment in time. We can clear the trauma from that moment in time. We can change the perception of ourselves in that moment of time. And that affects our health and our well-being in the present. So this technique, matrix reimprinting, also differs from conventional EFT because it enables us to work with pre-conscious memories. For those of you who are already familiar with EFT, it can be quite challenging to go back to the early memories, particularly the ones in the first 6 years, the ones that we so desperately need to get back to because we know how important they are. It can be really difficult to get back to. But with matrix reimprinting, we've got this amazing technique that can get us back to those pre-conscious memories and can transform them. So in turn, we transform our core issues and our core beliefs. We can go back to the time where our core beliefs, such as I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy, I'm not special enough, were formed. We can go back to the moments that we learnt those beliefs, and we can create transformation. Another thing that matrix reimprinting does is it fills what you might consider as the EFT void, and I'll explain what I mean by this. If you use conventional EFT and you clear all the negative peaks out of the memory and you kind of clear that negative memory, you're still left with a negative memory in your field and matrix. With matrix re-imprinting, when we transform that, we really kind of transform the energy around what happened and we really kind of fill that void. Now, when I first came into conventional EFT, I learned other techniques to kind of fill the hole where that negative memory was. I used to use Reiki and another technique called Psych K to reprogram the subconscious mind with positive beliefs. Since I've used matrix re-imprinting and since I've really kind of been developing matrix re-imprinting, I found no need to fill those memories, because when you create a new picture in your field of matrix, then that actually rewrites the memory. So in matrix re-imprinting, there is a new client, if you like, and that is the echo. And I'll talk more about the echo in the moment, but it's the part of yourself that splits off when you experience a trauma, and we can work directly with those parts to help them to release the trauma. So let's talk a little bit more about the matrix before we get into the specifics of the technique. So we're all connected by this unified energy field. Max Planck rocked the world in the 1940s by revealing this. And since then, there have been a whole host of books and films which support this theory. And if we think about The Secret, What the Bleep Do We Know, the fabulous book Divine Matrix by Greg Braden, The Field by Lynn McTaggart, The Living Matrix by Harry Massey and Greg Becker, there's been a whole host of these books and films that have really helped us to support and understand this theory that we're all connected by this unified energy field. So what we've learned is that we're actually all made up of energy that vibrates so fast that it appears as solid matter. We're not the solid objects or the solid matter that we used to believe that we are. And we're all linked by a web that connects us all, known as the matrix. Now, what we started to understand through films like The Secret is that we send our thoughts out into the matrix, and those thoughts are attracted back to us as life experiences. And what we understand with matrix re-imprinting is we can change how we experience life by changing those pictures in our field or matrix. So we need to have a little think about our understanding about where memory is stored. Because it used to be believed that memory was stored in the brain. In fact, there's a number of scientists that spent many, many years trying to show or prove that memory is actually stored in the brain. And what started to come up is that because the cells in the brain, like the cells in the body, are renewing over and over again, it became very questionable about where these memory traces were actually stored. And there's never actually been found these memory traces in the brain. So there's an alternative view supported by scientists such as Bruce Lipton and Rupert Sheldrake. And this view suggests that memory is actually stored in the matrix and that we tune into memory in the matrix. And Bruce Lipton, in his DVD Fractal Evolution, suggests that cells don't have the consciousness to hold on to memory, but instead our cells have antennae which tune into the self in the field. Now, it's interesting because disease appears in our local fields before it becomes a physical manifestation. You've got amazing medical intuitives like Caroline Myers, who can actually see disease in the field before it manifests in the physical body. So eventually, our cells and our DNA will adapt and change to these misperceptions of these unconscious images that are held in the field. And we label these changes as physical and mental disease. And what's interesting is disease cells will be replaced by disease cells until the information in the matrix changes. Now, this is interesting because if you think of, say, a diseased organ, and you know that your cells change over and over and over again, and our cells completely keep changing, why would disease cells replace themselves for disease cells, and why would this process be as it is if it wasn't picking up something from the matrix? And there's lots of amazing stuff come through. For example, Peter Fraser and Harry Massey have actually developed a system where you can actually scan the fields of the human body, and they can actually pick up the disruptions in the field before the disruptions are in the organ. So what we're actually working with is the information that's in the matrix. If we change that information, then it changes us on a cellular level. So let's talk a little bit more about energy consciousness holograms or echoes. In matrix re-imprinting, we work with these echoes, which occur in either big T or small T trauma. So when a trauma occurs, part of our consciousness actually splits off. Now, that this is not a new theory. This is understood in traditional Western psychotherapeutic theory, that when we experience a trauma, part of our consciousness splits off. The way that we differ from seeing it in matrix re-imprinting is, in conventional theory, that part of us that splits off was said to go into some part deep in our brain. Whereas in matrix re-imprinting, we see that part of us that splits off going into the actual matrix. So a fraction before the trauma occurs, our consciousness freezes and we go into fight, flight or freeze in order to help survival. Now the interesting part of this is the freeze response. If we freeze, we're protected biochemically from our emotional and physical overwhelm. Now it's like we're numbed out, and it's to stop the pain of the trauma. It's a biochemical way of actually stopping the pain. So it's like the problem never happened, but it's like it never stops happening. Our consciousness compresses all this information, and we believe in matrix re-imprinting that it creates a hologram of this, held in the matrix, and we call this hologram the echo. So these echoes are energetic realities existing locally in the matrix with real personalities. Now, all of us have these echoes on some levels. If you've experienced some smaller or minor traumas, you'll have a number of these echoes. For those people that experience major traumas, this is why they end up getting ill lots and lots of time. People experience a lot of trauma, get a lot of physical and emotional disruption, a lot of illness. On a grand scale, on the grandest scale of this, is the multiple personality or dissociative identity disorder, which actually changes the physiology. So what happens is people with the dissociated identity disorder, or DID, what happens to them is we believe that they have such strong echoes in the matrix that they end up tuning into those different echoes. And their physiology actually changes. So if somebody has a wart in one personality, they won't have it in another personality. One of the personalities can have diabetes when the other one doesn't. So our feeling is that they must be tuning into different echoes, because if that information was held in their body, then those physiological changes wouldn't actually take place. So that's on an extreme level, but on a smaller level, these echoes are happening for us all the time, or they're held in our matrix all the time. Now, our subconscious doesn't know the difference between something that happened now and something that happened years ago. It's not time framed. So memories are only memories to our conscious mind. To the unconscious mind, remember, that's the part that's running 95 to 90%, 99% of your behaviors. They are current events. So I want to ask you to think about what your specific current events are that are keeping you from healing. And that's a question that I want to kind of keep coming back to and keep asking yourself, because anything that's not resolved in the past that's still got some emotional resonance and still got a trigger to your subconscious, that's happening over and over again as if it was happening in real time. And when we go in with matrix re-imprinting and we transform these echoes, then we change things for you in the present. So the purpose of working with these echoes is to release the trauma and change the images that we're holding in our field and change our unresourceful negative beliefs. By changing our information in the matrix and replacing it with more empowering positive images, positive beliefs and resources, we can actually transform our lives. So more about working with echoes then. Energetically, echoes are just as real as our physical bodies. Obviously, we can't measure them. There's nothing to actually measure them. There's no equipment that measures echoes. But in matrix re-imprinting, we see them as actually real. And we work with echoes by stepping into the picture of the time that the traumatic memory was created. And imagine tapping on that or dialoguing with the echo to help them release the trauma that they've experienced. We also resource the Echo to help them move through the trauma. They can do and say all the things that they wish they'd said and done in any given moment. And if you've ever had those experiences where you wish there was something that you'd said, where you wish there was something that you'd done, you can go back and re-imprint that in the matrix. And then send that information all the way through the body, the new image, and release and send that new image out into the matrix. So we're changing the picture in the field, taking the new information through the body and the cells, and sending it out into the matrix. So that's the new picture that we now tune into. And something really important to consider is those powerful positive pictures have a far higher resonance than the negative pictures. If you're interested in the law of attraction, you'll know that the positive feelings and emotions have a much higher vibration than the negative ones. So when you start putting these new and positive pictures into your matrix, then a real transformation starts to take place. Let's just talk a little bit about how we utilize the heart and the heart pictures in matrix re-imprinting. So in the West, it's been kind of generally felt that the brain is in charge, but the heart generates the body's most powerful electromagnetic field. It's 60 times more powerful electrically than the brain and 5,000 times more powerful magnetically. And a heart's field, it can actually be measured 10 feet away from the body, although it's thought to go much, much further into the matrix. And it's sending out and broadcasting information into the matrix 24 hours per day. So the heart energetic communication is just below our conscious awareness. And the heart communicates information to the brain throughout the body via electromagnetic field interaction. A person's emotional state is also communicated throughout the body via the heart's electromagnetic field. So the disruption of the body's energy system can be tracked back to disruptive pictures, and the replacement of these pictures create a permanent healing effect. Destructive and often unconscious images cause physical and non-physical illness, as we've already said. And we can change these pictures by re-imprinting and sending a new image out into the matrix. Now, we've already said that the heart projects out into the matrix. So with matrix re-imprinting, we use the heart not only to project the new image around the body and to send the new information around the body about the image, but also to send it back out into the matrix powerfully. So we really use the heart and the information that we've gained from the guys from HeartMath, which have really showed what the heart field can do. We really use that in matrix re-imprinting to re-imprint the new picture and the new image. So this week, we're mainly going to focus on matrix scene re-imprinting, or foundation technique one. There's two foundation techniques, scene re-imprinting and memory re-imprinting. And we're just going to focus on scene this week, and next week we'll look at memory re-imprinting. So the foundation techniques. The scene re-imprinting is for working with a single image or a flash of a memory. And the memory re-imprinting is for working with a longer memory. And these are the two foundation techniques which form the basis for all the other protocols. So the purpose of scene re-imprinting is to remove the energy of the trauma from a single part of an event. So this technique is used to work with an isolated part of a memory. If you're working with as a matrix re-imprinting practitioner, it's important to note that if you use this technique, you may need to go in and use memory re-imprinting at a later date to work with more complex aspects of the memory. But scene re-imprinting is for really to go in there and to take the intensity out of a single flash of a memory. So I'm going to demonstrate this technique in a moment. I'm just going to look down my list and see where my demonstrates. Natasha, do you think you could raise your hand so I can see where you are? Okay. No sign of... we got you. Okay. So I'd like to welcome Natasha to the call. Natasha, how are you doing this morning?
Hi, Sasha. I'm great, thanks.
Fabulous. And would you prefer me to call you Natasha or Tasha on this one, darling?
Tasha's fine.
Tasha's fine, okay. And you're calling from Belgium today, is that right?
I am, yes.
Fabulous, fabulous. And you've got a single image that you'd like me to work with this morning, lovely.
Yes, I have.
Okay, so what I want you to do is just start tapping on the side of your hands.
Okay.
Is this a very intense memory? Is this one that brings up a lot of emotion?
Not when I look at it right now, not too much emotion. Well, no, not really.
Not really. So you've not gone into a high peak of emotion just kind of thinking about that picture?
No, not into a high peak.
Okay, give me a number just so I can check where you are.
A 4 to a 5.
Okay. And just to clarify for everybody listening, if that was an 8 or a 9, I'd take a bit of the edge off that before I kind of went into the memory with you. Okay, sweetheart. So what I'd like you to do, still tapping on the side of your hands, is just, without giving me too much of the kind of the story around it, because obviously with matrix re-imprinting, we want to get into the memory as quickly as possible. What's the picture, Tasha, that you've got there that you want to work with?
My mum putting me over the fence in our garden for me to run through the field to school.
Okay. And when you say that, has that increased the emotion of what you're saying, or?
It's probably more a 5, right?
It's more a 5. Okay, but it's not gone off the scale. Okay.
No.
Okay. How old were you in that picture, sweetheart?
3.5 or 4 years old.
Okay, 3.5 or 4 years old. What we're going to do is we're going to go in and meet that 3.5 to 4 year old. And we're just going to see if there's any resources that she needs, if there's any emotion that she needs to clear. We're just going to go in and work with her. Mm-hmm. So what I'd like you to do, Tasha, is close your eyes, my darling.
Yeah.
And as you do, I'd like you to imagine walking towards that little 3-year-old self.
Yeah.
What does she look like in that picture?
She's blonde hair, cute, but she's a little bit frightened.
Okay, she's frightened. And you're looking at her from the outside?
Yes.
Brilliant. Okay, so what I'd like you to do is walk up to her, silently in your mind, introduce yourself, and let her know that you're there to help her feel differently about the situation. Check she's okay with that.
Yeah.
Okay. And just tell her you've got a really cool way of helping her feel differently. And ask her if it's okay if you tap on her.
Yeah.
Okay. And start tapping on the side of her hand.
Okay.
Just check in with her, Tasha. Is it fear that she's feeling or something else? Just check in with her and see what she's feeling.
Yeah, she's just a bit frightened and she doesn't understand why Mum's just putting her over the fence and not taking her to school.
Okay, sweetheart. Okay, just tap on the side of her hand. And you're going to speak for her on her behalf.
Even though you've got all this fear.
You're a beautiful little girl.
You're a beautiful little girl.
Okay, and start tapping round on the points on you. As you tap on yourself, tap on the points on her as well. Okay, tapping around on the points. All this fear.
All this fear.
All this fear.
All this fear.
Tasha, ask her where she's feeling that fear in her body.
In her stomach, going up to her heart.
Okay, we'll start with the stomach and then we'll move up to the heart. Okay, all this fear in your stomach.
All this fear in your stomach.
All this fear.
All this fear.
Ask her what colour it is, Tasha.
Red.
Okay, all this red fear.
All this red fear.
How is she as you tap on her there?
She's starting to feel calmer.
Okay, keep tapping on her. Tasha, as you tap on her, what we need to know from this little girl is, what did she learn about life on that day? What was life teaching her on that day?
That she's going to have to do everything herself.
Okay, and did that resonate with you throughout life? Was that something that re-imprinted with that throughout life for you?
Funnily enough, yes.
Yes. It's funny how that happens, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, sweetie, keep tapping on her for the fear. Keep tapping on. As you tap on her for that fear, with all the knowledge and the wisdom that you've got now, and speaking as your kind of higher self, what would you say to that little girl who'd learned those messages and those learnings that day about having to do everything themselves?
That she's always got people around her and she doesn't have to do things on her own. That mommy was probably very busy, or she didn't think it was going to be harmful just putting her over the fence.
Okay. And does she understand that as you tell her that, and you tap there on her?
She's saying she kind of feels embarrassed that mommy's not taking her to school.
So there's an embarrassment now.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm just going to get you to speak up just a tiny, tiny bit louder, darling, because that's brilliant. Okay. So let's tap on her for the embarrassment. Tap on the side of her hand again.
Okay.
Even though you've got all this embarrassment.
Even though you've got all this embarrassment.
You're still a beautiful little girl.
You're still a beautiful little girl.
And tapping round on the points on her, all this embarrassment.
All this embarrassment.
Because mommy's not taking you to school.
Because mommy's not taking you to school.
All this embarrassment.
All this embarrassment.
All this embarrassment.
All this embarrassment.
Okay, is that bringing up emotion for you, sweetheart, or...?
That was just more of a release, I think.
Oh, okay. Just wanted to check in there, sweetie. Okay, keep tapping for the embarrassment.
All this embarrassment.
She's still feeling that embarrassment, Tasha.
She's a bit angry now.
The anger, yeah. I thought there might be some anger under there. Okay, so tapping on the side of her hand again, even though you've got all this anger.
Even though you've got all this anger.
You're still a beautiful little girl.
Still a beautiful little girl.
Now, what I'd like you to do, tapping round on the points on her, just let her know that she can express that anger in any way she likes and to anybody she likes. And she might need to express it to mum for a moment, or she might just need to shout and scream out. Just let her know whatever she needs to do to express that anger, is absolutely fine. And tap on her if you can throughout that, but if she needs to really, really kind of let rip, we can tap on her afterwards.
Okay.
Let's just keep... Yeah. Let's keep there tapping on her. I'm just going to give you as much time as she needs to be able to release that. And to be able to express that. In any way she needs to. She's been holding on to that anger for quite a long time now.
Yeah.
How's she doing?
Yeah, she's doing great. She just wants her mum to take her to school now.
Okay. So we just want to check in with her and everything's released. She's released all the anger, all the upset. Just want to make sure.
Yeah, she said she's happy now, but she just wants mum to take her to school and to not do that to her again.
Okay. Do we need to let mum know that she's not to do that to her again? Does she need you to let her know, someone else to let her know, or does mum understand that now?
Yeah, I think I need to explain to mum that it's important that she doesn't do that, so I'll just do that now.
Okay. Just remember, keep tapping the whole time we're doing this. We're tapping the whole time.
Yeah. Okay, mum said sorry. She didn't realise it was going to cause so much upset.
Okay. So mum understands now.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Just before we get her to take mum to school, there's just something I want to check in about as well. This core belief that she was always going to have to do everything herself.
Yeah.
Is there anything else we need to do about that, or any kind of other resources or anything, or anyone else we need to bring in to reassure her that she's got support and that she'll always have support?
she said, if I'm there, me as the person I am today, if I'm there, then that's who she'll come to whenever she feels like that. So I think she's just happy with me being there with her.
Perfect, perfect. So we've got that sorted, and she knows that she's got that support in place.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Okay, so keep tapping around on your points.
Yeah.
Allow her to play that out with mom taking her to school. And let me know when that feels complete for you.
Okay.
And we're just going to keep tapping on you the whole time and just let that new and perfect scene play out. Just keeping tapping around. And just giving that space to take place. It's a really important aspect here of just giving somebody the space they need in order to create the transformation.
Okay, done.
All done. Fabulous. Okay, how was it that mum took her to school? How different was that for her?
Oh, she was just so happy. So, so happy. She just feels very, very different.
Perfect. Yeah. Perfect. Perfect. Now, what's the picture? Check in with her to see what picture we want to send out in the universe. Does she want to go somewhere else with mum, or does she want to send this new picture of mum taking her to school out into the universe? Which is the right one for her?
Yeah, just the point of her saying goodbye to mum kneeling down, giving her a great big hug and a kiss, and then her just running off.
That's brilliant. And the thing is here, we don't need to go to a new place, because the new image that she actually wanted, the new picture that she wanted, was what actually occurred in the new scene. So that's absolutely brilliant. So take that picture and get a really strong sense of her there in that picture with mum there with her.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that's needed there?
Oh, no, it's just bright and happy and shiny, and, yeah, it's just a great picture.
Perfect. What I want you to do, Tasha, is take that picture in through the top of your head as you continue to tap on yourself.
Yeah.
And take it into your brain. And as it goes into your brain, what I want you to get a sense of is experiencing that picture through all the senses, so all the different smells, all the colours, any tastes, any sounds, anything at all in that picture. I want you to get a sense of that through the senses as you take that picture through the top of your head. Just really tune into that on every single level.
Yeah.
Okay. As that picture goes into your head, through the top of your head, I want you to imagine or picture all the neurons in your brain reconnecting with the knowledge that this is the new reality now, that mom was there to support her, and that she's got all the support and all the love that she needs.
Yeah.
Okay, brilliant. I want you to now send a signal to every cell in your body with the same information.
Yeah.
Brilliant. And still tapping around on your own points of your body. Take the picture into your heart. And here, what I want you to do, Tasha, is all the colours, make them bigger and brighter. All the positive feelings and emotions around that picture, all the feelings of connection with mom and those feelings of safety and anything else that was created in that moment, make them stronger with that picture in your heart. Yeah. And what colours have you got around that picture? Is there any different colours or?
Pink and green and yellow and lots of different colours around it.
Brilliant. So make those brighter as well. Really get a sense of those being stronger and brighter. and still tapping on yourself when you've got a really strong sense of that image and that picture in your heart, and a really strong sense that it's a positive picture with all those lovely colours around it, blast it out into the universe in every direction and let me know when that's complete.
Okay.
We're just tapping the whole time.
Okay.
How's that doing? It's done. Okay, fabulous. So really important step then. Want to test the work, because it's really important that we check that we've got all the different aspects of this. So what I want you to do, Tasha, is first of all, open your eyes. So you've got a strong sense of being here in the now.
Okay.
And then when you're really clear that you're here and now, close the eyes. And I want you to go back to that original picture, you know, the picture when Mum was passing you over the fence.
Yep.
How is that for you now? What do you see when you try and see Mum, or when you see Mum passing you over the fence? What happens now?
She tells Mum, I don't want to go over the fence. And Mum says, okay, pulls her back over and takes her to school.
Brilliant. So you've actually rewritten the memory. And as you know yourself from doing some of this work with other people, sometimes it rewrites the memory, sometimes there's more work to do, and sometimes it just kind of leaves a blank. But in this case, it's actually rewritten the memory and changed the memory for you.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
I see the little girl at school being dropped off by Mum.
Perfect. Perfect. And just to clarify, there's none of that original resonance. I just want to really test and make sure. It was that feeling in your kind of heart, wasn't it? It was about a 5 when we started off. Can we just check in? Sorry, my darling.
It was something going up to heart. She's absolutely fine. Mummy's listening to her, and she feels safe and secure now.
Perfect. Just before we finish up, because I mean, obviously we came out of that picture, what you actually kind of connected with was that whole core belief that you've got to do everything yourself,
mm-hmm.
which you said had resonated throughout life. And, you know, you kind of repeated that as we do throughout life. Was there, just to check, just to kind of see about a reframe or a different perspective on this, did anything positive come out of that?
From having that belief, yeah, absolutely. It made me very determined. It gave me that sort of get up and go, I think, and just did things regardless of what people sort of, you know, people said to me. But at the same time, I think it may have prevented me from really finding the right people to connect with to help me, rather than struggling to do it myself, you know. There was always that kind of that struggle element, but it did give me that get up and go. I think it just just sort of gave me that single-mindedness that I had to do everything on my own.
Sure.
And finding the right people, yeah.
I got you. So obviously there was some positive to come out of it, but generally it's a kind of a sense, I'm getting a sense of a kind of like an isolated feeling in the world where you've got to kind of keep moving forward on your own, through your own steam, and it's hard to ask for help. Is that kind of about right?
Yeah, it's more, yes, definitely. It's asking the right people for help. I ask for the help, but it's never the right people.
I see. Okay. So if we'd have been doing a practitioner session with you, we'd have looked at that belief at the start, you know, and we'd have kind of looked at that core belief at the start, and we'd also be looking each week to reduce that, because there might be some related memories that had kind of gone through with that belief. Are you still running that belief now, do you think, that it's hard to get help, or is that kind of, was that just a residue, or hard to get the right help, or was that just a residue?
I'm definitely getting the right help now.
Great, fabulous. That's good to know. Okay, well, you've been a fabulous demo. Have you got any questions for me, or?
No, Sasha, that was brilliant. Thank you very much. Thank
You're
you.
So welcome, and thank you so much for being a demo. You were a brilliant, brilliant demo.
Oh, good stuff.
Okay, have a great day, Natasha.
And you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Right. So I want to recap what we did there. The scene re-imprinting technique. So the first step of this technique is to ask your recipient to bring to mind a scene or image that they want to work with and encourage them to describe what they're seeing from the outside. It's important that they're looking at the image from the outside, because in matrix re-imprinting we work disassociated. So we work looking at the image from the outside so we can work most effectively with the echo. Questions to determine whether or not you're looking at the picture from the outside are things like, what is he or she wearing? What does he or she look like? And that younger version of themselves in the memory is the echo. So you're going to tap on your recipient, encourage them to close their eyes if that's comfortable for them. Check you have permission to tap on them, because not everybody likes to be tapped on. And then begin tapping on the conventional EFT points. And we're going to put a picture of those points in the webinar on the forum for anybody that's not 100% familiar with those points. Then they imagine stepping into the picture. Ask them to imagine stepping into the picture as their current self. So it's like their self now going into the picture to help the echo of the past. Ask your recipient to introduce themselves to the echo. Your recipient needs to let the echo know who they are and explain to the echo that they've come from the future to help them feel differently about the situation. This is done silently in the recipient's mind. And also thank the echo for doing such a great job for holding on to the trauma. But it's important that those few steps are carried out quite quickly and you tap on the echo as soon as possible, because the echo is holding all the trauma, and as you tap you start to tune into that trauma and be able to clear that trauma for the echo. So you continue tapping on the recipient, they tap on the echo using the conventional EFT protocol, with you doing the setup phrase and them doing the reminder phrase. So encourage your recipient to converse silently in their mind with the echo, asking the echo what they learned about life from the situation. This is a really important step, because we start to see where all our core beliefs have come from. And then you can ask your recipient if they're still running the learning from this memory. If they've still got the same belief, for example, if it was that they were stupid, do they still feel that they're stupid? Is that still resonating with them? So then you can encourage your recipient to ask the echo if they would like to do anything differently to resolve the situation. They can bring in new resources, and those resources can be absolutely anything at all. They can change what happened. Somebody or someone else can be brought in for help and guidance. They can do what they didn't do or wish they'd done in the situation. Now, this is all usually carried out in silence, although I know some cultures prefer to do it out loud, but mostly it's carried out in silence. Now, in step 9, we give the echo the option of going to a different place of their choosing. They're not always going to want to go to a different place. In Natasha's instance, it wasn't necessary to go to a different place, because she was re-imprinting the memory of something within the scene. She wanted to send out the scene of a mom taking her to school. In a different memory, somebody might want to go to a beach, a field, somewhere more tranquil, the seaside. So it's an option, but it's not always necessary to go to a different place. And you're going to allow the echo to have a positive experience in the place of their choosing. The echo can bring in others of their choosing in order to create a sense of community, which is often important for the healing of trauma to take place. Now, step 10, changing the image in the mind. So this image is brought in through the top of the head, through the brain, and experienced through all the senses. So all the tastes, all the smells, all the feelings, everything that's going on in the picture is really heightened as it is brought in through the top of the head. And you can also picture or imagine the neurons in the brain reconnecting with the knowledge that this is the new reality. And then instruct your recipient to send a signal around every cell in the body that the trauma has passed and that it's over and that all is well. Okay, so we're letting the cells in the body know that the change has taken place. Then the picture's brought into the heart. Remember, the heart is this amazing transmitter which sends the picture out into the matrix. Just before we send it out, we make sure that all the colours are bold and bright. And again, tune into all those feelings and all those senses. The heart is going to send the picture not only back round all the cells and to the brain around the body, but also back out into the matrix as well. So it's a really important step to take it into the heart. And that image from the heart is beamed back out into the matrix in every direction. Don't just see it as going forward, because the field from the matrix goes round in every direction. So the heart is sending the picture out in every direction. When that's been completed, we need to test the work. So get your recipient to open their eyes. They need to open their eyes so that they come back to the present and get a really strong sense of being in the here and now. It makes the testing much more effective. Then to close their eyes and again bring to mind the original image, so the actual image that they actually started working with, to bring that to mind and to test it to see if there's anything left. If there are other aspects, you can either use conventional EFT, so just some tapping, or go back into the picture and resolve another aspect that needs resolving, which we're going to look at more thoroughly when we do the matrix memory re-imprinting next week. However, it's likely that the original image will have changed or disappeared on resolution, just as Tasha did. She looked at that original picture and it had actually transformed to the new picture that she'd sent out into the matrix. So let's just summarise that, because that sounds like a lot of different steps if you're new to the technique. But in reality, it's not as complex as it seems. In fact, when we first started doing matrix re-imprinting, before it even had a name, we just used to go into the pictures, we used to tap on the echoes, and they used to release the trauma, and there were still some amazing results. So we've added all these other aspects as it's developed, but you can still get great results by simplifying the technique. So just to recap then, this is to change a single scene or a flash of a memory. You get the recipient to step into the picture, tap on their echo and help them to release the trauma. Change the picture by bringing in new resources or transforming the memory. Re-imprint it by sending it through the mind, into the brain, round the body, through the cells and into the heart. And when it's been sent out into the matrix from the heart, test the work at the end. So just an important note before I take questions about the client leading the session. It's important that all the ideas, the resources, the safe locations, the reframes, the changes of outcome, all come from the client and their echo. Your role, if you're facilitating this work, is to explain the process, to pre-frame, so to explain what's going to go on, to give suggestions, but always as questions, and just as to guide and facilitate when they get stuck. All the best ideas come from the client, and you must respect their point of view. I think the key with this work is that we can never truly know what's right for another human being. And our own judgments come from the filters of our own perceptions, which may be very different to those of the client. So this work is done absolutely at its best when all you do is you ask questions and you give perhaps a series of options, but you leave it open for the client and the echo to move through and resource their own trauma. So I'm going to invite questions now. Just a few technical things before we invite questions, and just a kind of a summary of the kind of questions that we're looking for on the webinar. So you'll need a headset and mic, as I said at the start of the call, to ask questions so that we can hear you nice and clearly, and so that it's picked up clearly on the recording for those people that aren't able to take part live. Keep the questions on the webinar, as I said at the start, to single sentence questions. And if you've got longer and more complex questions, we're going to save them for the forum, and I'm going to invite you to bring them to the forum. And this week I'm mainly taking questions about the content of what's been on this week's session. So either a question about the scene re-imprinting technique, a question about the theory that I presented at the start of the call, a question about the stuff that I did with Natasha. So with that in mind, and for those of you that have had the technical experience and know how to raise your hand on a webinar, yes, I'm going to take a question from Anita first of all. Good morning, Anita.
Good morning, gorgeous Sasha.
Good morning, my darling. How are you doing, sweetheart?
I'm good, thank you. And this is, what a fabulous webinar. I've just got to tell you, it's just wonderful to just reconnect with it all again.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, darling. I'm so pleased. It's great to be connecting with everybody on it as well.
Yeah.
What's your question, sweetie?
My question is, I have a problem seeing my echoes. I know they're there, and I don't know if anybody else has this problem. So how important is it to be able to see the echo, and what would you do?
That is an absolutely fabulous question. In fact, it's an interesting one as well, because Carl created this technique, but he's very auditory, and you know yourself that there's those three different ways of processing. So one's kinesthetic, which is mainly through feeling. One's auditory, which is mainly through sound, and one's visual, which is mainly through pictures. And Carl's is mainly auditory, so he doesn't get a strong picture of his echoes, but you can still do the work effectively. So let me explain how I would describe how to do that to you. What you would do is, do you get a sense of them, Anita, that they're actually there?
Yeah, I'm probably more feeling.
Yes, so you're more in the kinesthetic. So what you would do is just exactly the same thing, but just with a sense of working on them rather than with a picture of working on them. So if I'm working with somebody like yourself as a practitioner who can't visualize the echoes, what I would suggest is I'd switch the language slightly. So I'd say, can you get a sense of your younger self in front of you? And what does she feel like? What feelings is she having at the moment? Can you get a sense of getting those feelings from her? So it's more moving into the senses, but still working through the same protocol. So your questions would be things like, and what do you feel that she would want to do now? Where do you feel that she needs to go? So you're guiding it more with a feeling than you are with the actual pictures.
Wonderful. That's absolutely perfect.
Does that answer that for you, honey?
Yeah, it does. And then I'm assuming with Carl, because he's auditory, so what kind of language would you use there?
With the auditory, you know, it's the same kind of thing. So it would be things like what are you hearing her saying? I mean, most people can access a couple of, say, visual people can usually access a bit of auditory. Some people can access all three. So most people will get either a sense or a picture. If people are only processing the world through auditory, and that it's quite rare to find somebody only processing through auditory, your questions would be, what would he say right now? What would he do right now? You know, those kind of questions that are more kind of language based.
Wonderful. That's lovely. Thank you.
You're welcome, my darling. Were there any other questions?
No, that was it. Thank you.
Fabulous. Great to hear you this morning, darling.
Yeah, thanks, Sasha. God bless.
You're welcome. Have a lovely day, darling.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, so I'm just looking down to see if there's any more hands up. Yes, I'm going to come to Frederic. Good morning, Frederic.
Good morning.
Good morning. Am I pronouncing your name right, my darling?
That's right. Can you hear me? I thought the system was not working.
I can just about hear you, yes. I can just about hear you. Is there a specific question, my darling?
No. I didn't. I'm still experimenting with all this, so sorry.
Don't be sorry. Everybody's in a similar position, so that's absolutely fine. And just let me check in with you. Where are you calling from, love?
I'm calling from Australia.
And, fabulous.
It's amazing. I met you both and Carl when you came to Australia, and I fell in love with the Matrix because it really resonated in me. And I've used it in my work, and I was just thinking I wanted to connect with you guys when this seems I have many questions, but they're not coming now, but I'm sure they will come.
Oh, that's fine, darling. We've got many weeks, and I think maybe you met Bex, Carl's partner in Australia. I haven't had the pleasure of coming to Australia yet, but hopefully I'll have that pleasure soon.
That's all right. Sorry. Yes,
that's okay, my darling. Have a fabulous day.
Thank you. It's night for us.
Sorry, a fabulous night, darling. Cheers. Okay, I'm going to come to Elizabeth next. Hello, Elizabeth.
Hi, Sasha. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, sweetheart. How are you today?
Very good, thank you.
And are you calling in from Australia as well, my love?
Yes, Yes, we're very talkative out here.
Fabulous. What was your question, darling?
I just wanted to know, what happens if you go in to tap on the Echo and they don't want you to tap on them? They're sort of turning away.
That's an absolutely brilliant question, and we are going to look at that more over the course of the 12 weeks, but I want to answer that kind of in brief for you at the moment. So Obviously there needs to be a good connection between yourself, between the Echo and the person, the recipient, the Echo and the person that's leading the session. It's kind of like the three of you need to be a team in order to get resolution. Now, what can happen is obviously the Echo is very frightened, very traumatized, and somebody walking into their scene can be quite traumatic for them when they're already traumatized. So there's a number of different things that you can do to kind of create a connection with the Echo. Sometimes what I tend to do is, if the Echo won't let you tap on them, sometimes tapping surrogately for them, you know, the recipient tapping and imagine tapping for the Echo to start with, can create a connection. Sometimes bringing in somebody like a, you know, like an angel or a positive figure or somebody that the Echo will relate to can really help that connection. And sometimes it's just a matter of explaining to the Echo that you're there to help them and just spending a little bit more time showing them EFT and explaining that it'll help them feel feeling differently. So there are, you know, a number of kind of more complex answers that I'm going to go into over the course of the next 12 weeks. And it's a brilliant, brilliant question. Does that give you enough to get you started, Elizabeth?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
Brilliant. You're so welcome. And I look forward to expanding on that question for you, both in the forum and over the next couple of weeks as well.
I'll look forward to hearing it.
Fabulous. Have a great evening, darling.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. Right, I'm just going to take a couple more questions if there are any more. Okay, I think we've got everybody actually. Okay, so for now, that's all the questions that we've got in the actual live webinar. And I really appreciate those people who came on live for the first week and asked those questions, because it gets the ball rolling for everybody else. So what I suggest you do to follow up this work is practice the matrix scene re-imprinting before the next call if you're new to matrix re-imprinting, either on yourself or with a partner. Now, there will be some a download in the webinar for those of you who signed up early showing you how to use this technique on yourself. There's also opportunities for swap sessions via the forum. And I would really encourage you to get active in the forum. I ran this course as a 10-week course before we've created it as a rolling program. And the people that got most out of that 10 weeks were the ones that actually kind of came in and really got active on the forum and really kind of swapped ideas. It means, and it gives you a chance to grow what you're learning, and it gives you a chance to really connect with the work, and it gives you a chance to move through and kind of really learn lots more about the work as you do. So just to summarize today then, matrix re-imprinting is an energy psychology technique which came out of the fabulous technique EFT. And it's based on all the developments in the new science, in the new sciences and quantum physics. It's based on the understanding that there's a web that connects us all, and we store our life experiences in this web or matrix. We can transform the pictures that we hold in our matrix with matrix re-imprinting. And these techniques for changing a single image or a flash of a memory is the matrix scene re-imprinting technique. Okay, so I would like to finish by first of all welcoming my co-host, who you're going to get to know lots more of over the next couple of weeks. He's really going to be inputting a lot on the webinar. So Brett, thank you for joining us briefly today.
No, thank you, Sasha. It's been brilliant. I really enjoyed it again.
Fabulous, great. Fabulous. And I, as I said, invite you all to take part in the webinar. It's and to take part in the forum. It's been absolutely fabulous connecting with you guys all over the world. And I'm really looking forward to spending more time with you. Have a great day or a great evening wherever you are.